Vietnam, everybody, and welcome April 9th, 2013. Wow, the year of our galaxy moving into hyperspace, hyperdrive, hyperspeed. And we have coming up tomorrow the new moon in Aries, and we are in the sign of Aries. So we have a lot of fire, a lot of initiation. And in our upside-down world, since we've passed through the vortex of 2012, in our upside-down world, we have emerging from the other side of the looking glass with the Aries, new ways of looking at the world. And I loved how one of our members just shared when she was working on results. I think somebody needs to star six. I'm getting a lot of background noise, so go ahead. Yeah. Thank you. So the way to work with the new energies is definitely to stand outside of the different situations and look and see from the vantage point of how can I arrange the pieces of the puzzle so that it works differently. Because the key words for what we're working with now is the new paradigm, and how can we patch this patchwork quilt together in a new way. We're made of so many particles and pieces and energies, and I think of it as a patchwork quilt. And I think of the pieces of the patchwork quilt as different archetypes or symbols that we can pull from. But what alivens the quilt and makes the quilt a warm blanket of consciousness for others to use, others to enjoy, to share with others, is the life force, the Shakti, the individuation that each of you bring to putting that blanket together. So I was just thinking about these different archetypes and energies and thinking, what's the analogy? And that kind of popped into my head, the analogy of weaving together, sewing together. So everybody pulls the archetypes, energies, pieces into your own being and adds the Shakti. And that's why this call is the Shakti activation. And with this Aries, and if somebody could star six, I heard like a loud noise, like somebody's moving around. So with the Shakti activation, the Shakti is the life force. It's the divine, it's the driving force of the mind. It's the driver of the car. It's the divine driver of the car. And in Hindu mythology, it's said that the Shakti, the divine force, somebody I think just has their phone on speakerphone, doing something else. Thank you. So Shakti is the force that was manifested to bring balance onto the planet and to destroy the demonic forces. So what we're working with now, I think we're all experiencing in our own lives, and we've been talking about it on the call, we call the demonic forces in Hindu mythology, Shakti's here to destroy the demonic forces. And I think we would call that working with the shadow. And so she's here to restore balance. So that's whatever balance that is, the balance of the shadow with the light. So with the Shakti is the driver of the car, the one that is the life force that can look at the whole situation and say, what is the balance situation? What is the balance of the feminine and the masculine? What is the balance of the divine in this 3D creation? What is the balance of the Lakshmi energy? What is the balance of the Shiva energy? What's the balance of the Kurga, the Durga, and the Kali energy? So these are all different aspects, archetypes, frequencies, energies that we can bring into our own being to weave together, to sew together our own patchwork quilt. Then when everybody has their own quilt, then we can share our quilts at our at our own county fair, at our own retreats, at our own, you know, however we share that, everybody is weaving how they can express their divine Shakti in their own individuated way at this time. So that's this Aries new moon that's coming up is really pushing us to share in that way, to bring forth this alchemical feminine divinity to balance the male divinity. So this is an alchemical new moon tomorrow. It's the first Aries new moon in this new paradigm. So it's a very powerful time to actually go inward and to feel how you want to put the forces of creation moving with your own Shakti, how you want to put that into your psyche, pull that into your psyche, and feel that in your own being. So even though it's in Aries, which is a time of going out and creating, this is actually a time of really feeling inside what your new configuration, your new energy formation is for you. So I'm feeling lots of energies, but I'm also feeling, looking at, kind of contemplating different ways to bring things forth into the world. So it's not a time necessarily for manifestation. We'll move more into that when we move into Taurus, but it's really a time of just imaging and imagining and feeling what feels good to you that you'd like to give birth to or you'd like to emerge when we move into Taurus. We've got a Venus-Mars-Sun conjunction. Venus in Aries, and that's the warrior goddess. It's not a passive feminine archetype or an archetype that just receives other energies or just takes care of other people. This is a warrior goddess. So these three planets are really conspiring to bring the Venus-Mars balance, the balance of the divine masculine, the divine feminine, the light and the dark, onto the planet. And with conjunct with the sun, that's the light, it's the lens that we're looking through. What is the balance? How do we want to bring this through? So that's what our astrology is letting us know right now. What is our soul frequency? What does our own soul want to bring forth with the connection with the spirit, with the light of the sun? Where's the light? How do we want to take the light and weave it into the darkness so that it's something that brings warmth to others and not just something that obscures the light? So those are some analogies for what the energies we're talking about. So what we have right now, I want to use for a minute an archetype of Greek mythology, and we've used the goddess cards before, so I want to talk a minute about the archetypes of, I'm going to use Greek goddesses for a minute. So we, in the Greek archetype of the goddesses, they have them divided into the virgin goddesses, the vulnerable goddesses, and the alchemical goddesses. Virgin meaning that she is self-referencing. Remember those qualities we talked about, the quantum field, the divine mind, the mind of God? So one of the qualities is self-referencing. So it's the goddess who knows her own identity and is anchored in her own identity and is not seeking to, you know, quote-unquote, look outside of herself for her identity. So we have Artemis. She's the goddess of the hunt and of the moon. And we have Athena, goddess of the crafts. And we have Hestia, who's the goddess of the temple goddess. So in the archetype of Artemis, the goddess of the hunt and the moon, she's the goddess who's the archer, and she never misses. She's so focused and so not distracted by things around her, not worried about other people's opinions, so that she can totally focus on and whatever she's aiming at, her arrow goes there. She can pierce the heart of darkness because she's so focused that she can just aim at that shadow, aim at that fear, and just totally have it disappear. She's the light bearer, and she's with this, bearing this torch, this light, she's leading the way for others to pierce, to penetrate the darkness. So that's our Shakti. As we bring forth our own Shakti, then we can embody the spirit of Artemis. And I think it's really, what I was experiencing when I was meditating on the call is that it's really important to identify what some of the female archetypes, symbology, and mythology are, because what I've experienced for myself in my own life, and what I also uncover in my sessions as I work with people, is that a lot of times, you know, like I said, I've noticed I have, and I see other people playing out certain archetypes, but they don't even know that they've been maybe culturally influenced or influenced by their families or influenced in different ways, maybe by their relationships, to kind of be forced into a certain archetype. Like, you know, women thinking they have to get married and have kids as a certain archetype. Maybe there's women who want to be more the Artemis archetype. They don't want to have to be, they don't need that, or they don't desire that. So it's important to know what the different archetypes are, so when we feel inside ourselves different energies or frequencies or desires, we don't have to feel crazy or trapped or there's no way out. So that's why I think it's so important to know what the different mythological archetypes are for women, for everybody, for people, and that we can meditate on that archetype and say, oh, yes, that's really what I'm desiring right now. I'm really desiring to be focused on myself right now. And we can be in different archetypes in different periods or different moments. And I really don't feel that I want to be totally influenced by, you know, whatever, having to just always do things for other people or, you know, just be the caretaker. So we can also be the light bearer. So that's what I love about really looking at these different archetypes. Claiming, knowing what energies we want to claim and work with in our own self, it gives us kind of a focus and something to work with. And then we have the next one of the three virgin goddesses is Athena. And Athena had a city named after her, Athens. She's a protector. She's the goddess, as I said, of the craft. She planted olive trees, which is also the olive branch, is also the symbol of peace. So what she's done is she's brought all kinds of inventions that make life on the planet doable so that we can live in connection with nature, like the spinning wheel, and she introduced different ways to work with nature, live on the planet, work with life. She's the bringer of starlight. So that's kind of, to me, represents just being able to imagine what would bring brightness to life. She can go into her imagination, into the starlight of her mind, and bring forth that which can serve mankind. She's pictured as wearing armor. And she's so beautiful, she has so much beautiful beauty inside that she wears armor to protect her beauty so that she can't be basically taken off course by how beautiful she is, you know, maybe seduced or whatever. So that's her symbology. That's Athena. And she brings a way to live peacefully on the planet, live peacefully with nature. So her crafts, her inventions were things that were in harmony. They weren't things that cause destruction, but things that bring life. So it's a way to bring forth those peaceful ways that bring life to the planet, that enhance the Shakti, don't take away from it. And then the third virgin goddess we have, as I said, is Hestia. So she's the goddess of the hearth and the temple. So she's the temple goddess. She's the wise woman who guards the temple. She keeps the fire burning. She's the fire maiden. So she keeps the fire burning in the temple, the fire burning in the hearth. So she's the flame. And what she represents for us is the Kundalini energy, the Kundalini rising, the flame of the Kundalini. She just keeps generating a place for us to go that is alchemical, that brings us back into the power of our own selves. So like when the man would come back for more, they'd go to the temple, the goddess temple, and the goddesses would heal them and nurture them and massage them and bring them back into balance so that then they could move back into the community and back with their wives and partners and children, and they could be peaceful members of the community and not bring so much trauma of war. And I'm feeling that she's really an archetype that we need today, with so much PTSD trauma from all the young men returning from wars, and I'm sure you've heard on the news is so many suicides daily, because they don't have a place to come back to that integrates them into their own balanced psychology so they can enter the community, the peaceful community, and they can fit in. It's too much of a gap. So that was Hestia's job. She brings the living flame to the Kundalini, to life. So we have Artemis, the goddess of the hunt and the moon. So she is the light bearer. She is the power of the light. So it's not, the light is not just some diffuse element, some sort of like nebulous thought of, okay, I'm moving into the light and I'm just going to merge and not be powerful. No, the light or the torch, so she's symbolized by a sword. She carries a sword and also the archer. So she focuses the light and aims the light to penetrate the darkness. And then we have Athena, who works with starlight. That's such a beautiful image. And she's just so radiating this starlight that she's pictured with wearing armor so that her starlight can be intact and out of her vision. So she's a visionary. Out of this starry vision, so the image of stars in your eyes, out of her starry vision, she can bring forth beautiful creations that serve everyone, serve mankind, serve womankind, serve God and goddess kind, so people can stay in harmony with nature, with the earth. And then we have Hestia. So she's the Kundalini, the goddess of the temple, the flame, the keeper of the flame, keeping the home fires burning, keeping the flame burning. And in Greece, for every city that they had, they actually would have a central space where they lit a fire. And they would always, there was someone who was always a keeper of the fire for that community. They considered that an essential part of the community, which I think is really interesting, because we've kind of really, in our culture, when we think about the elements, we've gotten away from really the alchemical energy of the fire element. And it's important to really work with that flame, work with the fire. And I know, you know, when we meditate, we light a candle. And that's beautiful. But just even think how we feel more peaceful when we light one little candle. Well, think about if we're really having more access to the fire element, you know, bonfires and different things, and people gather around the fire. We have fire rings on our beach near here, and it's so powerful when we gather around the fire and we have our drums and we have women's circles around the fire. It's an energy that really is a primal energy that connects us with the earth. So we have those three goddesses archetype energies that I feel are really appropriate for this new moon in Aries that's coming up. So we can all work with those energies and just know that we have this virgin archetype right now to work with. This Aries energy is really a virginal, archetypical energy. It's a new beginning. It's a way to see the world anew, to work with that part of ourselves that is untouched by all the trauma that we've been working on releasing in the last few weeks that we've been working with on the last calls. So those are the main elements that we're working with today in this new beginning. So if everybody could just go ahead and breathe. We'll just work on invoking these frequencies in the meditation. So I'm going to just get the music up on my iPod, and we'll move to chanting. So just go ahead and deep breathe and feel your toes, wiggle your fingers and toes. There you go. And breathe into your belly. So just feel your womb, whether you're a man or a woman, put your hand on your belly. And as you breathe in, take a breath in, push your hand out, and as you exhale, push your hand back towards your spine. And lift up on your diaphragm, lift up your chest. Roll your shoulders back, move your head from side to side. Bring your neck back. Just go ahead and start filling your kundalini, your flame, your Hestia energy. Feel that you are firing up your temple. Feel that you're firing up your temple. The flame of the kundalini. Keep your temple burning. Keep your home fires burning in your body so you can birth whatever it is that you want to bring forth. Go. Just keep the home fires burning. Good. Good. Keep going.
No. Thank you.
feel your connection with the Adi, the primal power, the Shakti, the life force. Rising. Pull the root. Up on the diaphragm, Uddiyata Bandha, Jalandhara Bandha. Focus on the third eye. Project your vision out, your primal power out into the light. Be the torchbearer. And let it go. Beautiful, beautiful. And what Yogi Bhajan, our beautiful teacher and master, is suggesting this week is to Adi Shakti Mantra, feel the primal power, and breath of fire. So those are the main things doing well. We move through a lot of shadow energy, not just for ourselves, but also for others. So thank you, everybody. Beautiful. So if anybody would like to share, we have a few more minutes, or I can just lead you to your meditative mind. Share your experience, or let us know that you're here, hear your voice. Anything.
I think the fire thing came up, because that's been coming up for me a lot lately.
Has it, Linda? Yeah.
I'm actually going to be fire keeper for the next two sweat lodges that we have.
Oh, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful that you work with the sweat lodges with the fire. Yeah, don't you really find that's powerful when you work with the fire? And that, you know, mostly in this culture, we don't even work with fire.
Well, fire, the whole ceremony is based on the fire and the stones. With all of the native ceremonies, it's the fire is the heart of whatever the ceremony is. Ceremony's not over until the fire is out.
Oh, okay. It's the heart of the ceremony. Wow, awesome. That's so great. And you're going to be the fire keeper. Wow, beautiful. Really,
it's new for me, so I'm watery, so to work with fire is a whole new thing.
Great, excellent, excellent. Anybody else feel that connection to the flame, the fire, the kundalini, the Aries new moon tomorrow showing up? They want more of it, or they're noticing it, or they thought about it, or any other feelings about the fire?
I feel the Adi Shakti strong within me, and it feels more like it's grounding through me into my the Kundalini energy. So I feel that. I feel a lot of that energy firing up.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great. Thanks. I feel that too. When you talk about it, I can feel that for you. Beautiful. So the Adi Shakti Mantra and Breath Fire are our practices. Designated practices for this week, and anything else that, you know, you've already been doing that's working, that we've talked about before, everything's really great. And to, you know, start to maybe write down just different ideas about what you want to create, working with that Athena energy. So we've got the torchbearer, the Athena energy, the bringing forth the olive tree, the olive branch, that which brings, which nurtures life, and then we've got the living flame of the goddess temple. So I love those images. So if you want to write those images down and then work with them in your journal about how you relate to them.
It's funny, it feels like all three of these energies have been intertwining with me last week, and I even know that I had asked I'd asked the energies to give me a creative idea, something to do, something that I wanted to do vocally. I just was looking and searching for some type of a creative idea. And out of the blue, I think it was last Friday, as I was just combing my hair, this song came into my head. It's an old song, but the thought was to revamp it and to redo it and to add it into the show. And I started searching for the song. only to find out that the singer that I knew originally did the song, it's an old Bob Dylan tune. It's called "The Times They Are Changing."
Oh, I love that song.
It was performed by Josephine Baker, and that's the version that came into my head. So I immediately started searching for that song, only to find out that there's no recorded version of it. It was only recorded live with her doing it in Carnegie Hall back in the 1970s. So when I found it instantly, I said, that's the song, that's the version that I instantly knew.
That's so great.
Yeah, and everyone that I kind of presented the idea to, they said, well, where did you get this idea? I said, it's not my idea.
That's so great. That's really funny. Good. I love it. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. It's been really great. I'm feeling that living flame, the Kundalini, and my heart rising, connecting with everybody.
Satnam.
Satnam.
Hey, can you hear me? Right before the call, I was thinking about the purpose of and what inspires and elevates me and what's my truth. And a book jumped at me, and the book is called Drive, and it's the truth about what motivates us. And it was very interesting because the book opened to how to define your purpose. And the author was giving this step that you can go through, and that step is, what is your sentence? Write a sentence about who you are. Projected from now to the future, and who you are, like, you know, Lincoln liberated the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did. That was his sentence. So what's your sentence? Define that. And then he gave a secondary question that you can ask yourself every day, because this is a big question, and you can get to it in one step. But you can do things towards it every day, meaning at the end of the day, ask, how, what did I do today to become more of my purpose, to serve my purpose more? And that could be something very small, but still, for sure, you made some progress every single day. So I wanted to share this because it came like right almost when the call was started, so I thought it should be shared with you.
Thank you. I really appreciate you sharing that.
Satnam.
Okay, thank you, everybody, and all of our guides and angels and everybody on the call, and we'll look forward to kind of a fun, creative, fiery week, Kundalini week, and we'll look forward to talking with everybody next week.
Satnam.
Bye.
Bye-bye.